The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 29. It is not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. And that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off, who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who was in the right. Therefore, thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. You may be seated. Anytime we hear an account like this in the gospel reading from Mark, we see Jesus reveal himself as God in the flesh. He's showing who he is, who he has been promised to be, and his miracles point to this fact that God is true and faithful. And so Jesus is the Lord of creation, who has restored his people, and he gives a glimpse of the future glory to come. That's what Jesus did for this man. And that's what you see today as well. So knowing this, let's explore a bit further as Jesus teaches you then what this means, as there are spiritual and physical elements to this miracle that he reveals to you today about what he has done for you and what you have in eternal life. So listen again to what your Lord did. Then he, Jesus, returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. So something happens when Jesus intervenes, and Jesus does intervene here in this case as he's passing through this region, through this Gentile country. And he knows your state. He knows what is rightly due this fallen world. He knows the assaults of the devil. He knows what sin has brought about and what it means to live in this world. And outside of Christ, there are only sin, darkness, death. But Jesus is the righteous one. He is the Word made flesh. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus said in John 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The Spirit blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so as we go through this fallen world as sinners, the things of God and the things of life are only heard and understood in faith. A new life in Christ, which turns from sin, which desires what is righteous, what is true, good, beautiful, and only comes and flows from Jesus, who alone is the righteousness of God. And so as Christians, you have been called by the gospel. Your ears have been opened to hear the words of Jesus, and you know that these words are for you, and they are the words of eternal life. So don't take this for granted in your life. Always remember who you are. Always remember and know who has been given ears to hear and a tongue that has been released. And so Jesus has worked this miracle of faith in your life, and your life lives this faith out every day in what you say and do. So when you hear Jesus then, you who have been opened, you can speak correctly. The word here used for plainly when the man's tongue that he speaks is the word orthos, where the words orthodoxy, or right teaching, or literally right praise come from. I think about right orthodontics, straightened teeth, and all of those things along those lines. So this man is healed by Jesus, and he speaks rightly as a Christian does. His ears are opened, he speaks as one who has been opened to hear the word of God, And on that same word placed on his lips, as Psalm 51 says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. So Jesus intervened in this man's life, and Jesus intervenes as God speaks to you. God creates faith, for faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. God, in his great mercy, also gives you the very words by which you speak, and you speak of Christ and his church. This is called confession. It's the voice of a loosened tongue, set free to speak the words of Jesus. It says back what God has said to you. And so you confess Christ, and you, in faith, confess the Christian faith, which has been handed down through the ages. This is the Orthodox faith, an Orthodox confession. Not Eastern Orthodoxy, but the correct, what God teaches you. And so God has opened your ears and released your tongue. This is the first thing that you see that God has done for you in this reading. And that's nothing insignificant. And lest you forget about this, God shows you the need to have God speak and act to bring you into his kingdom and make you a Christian. In that reading from the epistle reading from Romans 10, we heard, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who believed what he has heard from us? And then it goes on to say, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So without God's word preaching to you and using his means of grace, you wouldn't believe in Jesus. And that's something so obvious, perhaps yet something easily taken for granted. That gift of faith and being able to speak the things of God is nothing short of a miracle. It's not really any different than Jesus opening the eyes of the man who was physically blind. The blindness, stubbornness, and ignorance of our sin is such that we can't see God and come to him of our own. But what great mercy and grace has been extended to the fact that he takes people, us, who can't believe in him or come to him and are turned against him because of our sin and gives us faith to trust in him and what he has done. If that isn't miraculous, I don't know what is. But yet this is what he does through preaching Christ to sinners. And that's the wonderful thing, yet regarded as foolishness to the world. Because the world is scandalized by the gospel because it's scandalized by Christ. And sadly, even well-meaning Christians are scandalized that God is the one who creates faith completely on his own. It may be easy for those who have faith to believe that God would save us by his grace alone, and without anything we have done or can do, but then when it comes to faith, we want to add a yeah, but to it. We want to somehow claim ownership that we decided, that we responded with a decision, or somehow play some part, however small or minuscule, in faith. You can always tell a lot by how we talk about our faith. When we talk about more about faith or my faith, then we're in danger of turning faith into a quality in our lives rather than an instrument which receives Christ and its benefits. Now, it's not to say we shouldn't or can't talk this way, but we just need to remember that we always need to know, what are we trusting in? What's the object of our faith? For example, if we start saying, my faith is what heals me, or these bad things happened, I just need to have more faith. But like being saved by grace alone, if faith is not completely and solely a gift and a work of God, then what is faith other than something we contribute to saving ourselves? But if faith is a gift, and it most certainly is, then the God of grace and mercy and his work for us are far-reaching beyond measure. Faith is no longer about my faith, but rather faith is all about the object of it, Jesus. And God has said to you, be opened. He has converted you to believe in Christ unto salvation. He has worked this miracle. He keeps you in this faith. And with those same things, the Holy Spirit gave you faith, the means of grace. He also is the one keeping you in this faith. And when you forget about that or separate yourself from the word and sacraments, you're placing faith back into your own hands again, and it will not end well. Faith will die, and you will perish eternally. But God, though, is able, and he will surely keep and preserve you and that which he has already given to you. God will not, nor will he ever fail. He alone is faithful, and he alone guards and keeps you. Now, the second thing you see in the gospel reading today is that God not only cares about your spiritual well-being, but he has redeemed your body and will restore it when you are raised up on the last day. Your physical body is important to God because he created you. St. Mark recorded for you, and Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." And yes, God does indeed do all things well, even as Moses recorded in the creation account of God seeing it was good what he had created. And so after that fall into sin, creation groans out and longing for redemption. Bodies decay, get sick, are born with the deformities, and each breath that we take is closer to the last. Yet the God who created all things is the same God who took on human flesh, yet without sin, and entered into creation in the womb of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So God has a body. Jesus is fully God and fully man. His whole life on this earth was lived in obedience to the law of God, which the first man, Adam, sinned against and brought about the righteous judgment of death against himself, his body. Jesus, though, is not defeated by death because he has no sin and no deceit is found in his mouth. But the Father laid on the Son the iniquity of us all, and by his wounds you are healed. Dying the death of a sinner, Jesus redeemed your soul and body. And by his death, he has destroyed death. By his resurrection, bodily from the grave, God proclaims to you that you are forgiven and will rise from your grave too. Salvation and the Christian faith are physical along with spiritual. And so something happens when Jesus intervenes. He restores what has been broken, what has been tainted by sin. He sets free those who were in bondage to sin and its consequences. He preaches the truth which sets you free, for he himself is the way, the truth, and the life. He works miracles. The miracles of healing, like this one, point you to that future when you no longer will face sin and its ramifications. Jesus came into the world and things happened. And so during this Trinity season, as we hear these teachings of Jesus and this miracle, we see that it's no surprise when Jesus opens the man's eyes and unlooses his tongue when we listen to the scriptures. He is the one promised by the prophet Isaiah when it said, In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel. Jesus does this, and the Lord will raise you to immortality and incorruption. No more suffering, no more sickness, no more illness, no more death, no more dying, none of those things. Gone. And in their place, there will be eternal life. So hear these words of God today, dear people of God. Repent of your sin and humble yourself before the Lord. And live out your life in the words of the gradual. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Behold your Lord in the flesh. See Jesus and what wonders he has done in healing this man. Rejoice with your voice, speaking orthodoxly what he has done as his word has revealed to you. And he has redeemed you in his blood, he has given you faith, and he will raise your body up on the last day, because Jesus does all things well, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.